He abides. Amen. Did you read this prayer request, Tim? No, okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. There's a prayer request from Sister Shelley for healing for a new friend she met in Virginia this week. His name is Malcolm Hughes. Been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Is testifying to him. Scriptures say he is already healed by Jesus' stripes. Amen. How many has a prayer request this morning? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful we can come to you, Lord. In this world where people have no hope, Lord, you give hope to the hopeless. You give strength to the weary. You save the lost and you heal the sick. Lord, and we bring this prayer request to you. We ask you to help this man, Malcolm, Lord Hughes. And for all the prayer requests here today, Lord, you see what's beyond underneath every hand. You see all of our needs, Lord. You knew them before the foundation of the world. You knew what we'd be going through. And Lord, we know today you are the answer to all of our problems. And Lord, we know your word says that you're able. And I believe you're willing, Lord, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So we commit all these things into your hands. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing healing. We thank you for bringing salvation. We thank you for saving our loved ones, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the latter rain that you promised. We're expecting, Lord, and we're praising you for what you promised you would do. Lord, I ask you to bless the reading of your word today. We commit this service into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to try something new today. So let's turn, if you want, or we're going to show the scriptures up on the wall. Matthew chapter 1. So forgive us if technology-wise we mess up today, but we ask for a little bit of grace and mercy. So you'll probably make it even bigger, Amber. I don't know. So try view and then edit zoom. Yeah. And then, so forgive us. We'll get this right. Yeah. So see zoom, Amber.
Yeah.
And then you click like 200% or something. And then go back to that's it. And then just scroll down. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So we don't, what's that? Amber's just wonderful at everything.
Amen. Praise so, the Lord. Good job, sister. Amen.
Told her today, I said, I don't know if I can let you leave me, Amber. She says, I might have to, Dad. So now, I don't want this to be a distraction, but it could be a blessing too. So let's just have grace for one another today as we read the scriptures. And there's different quotes of Brother Branham. And actually today, it's a strange day to try it for the first time because I have so many scriptures and things. So I just ask for your patience today. And I love reading the scriptures,
Amen.
You know, and if that's the only fault he finds in me when I get to the other side, then praise the Lord.
Amen.
John, you use too many scriptures, so let's turn or just read from above, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. And, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people
Hallelujah.
From their sins. And can we go to Luke chapter 19, verse 1? Now, I heard one criticism of these things. Somebody said people stop bringing their Bibles to church. So, but you know what? I think the Bible has to be in you. You know, that's what has to be inside of you. So I don't care whether we read it from this book or from the screen. It's still the Word of God.
Amen.
Luke chapter 1 and 19. I'm sorry. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to Jesus to see Jesus, who he was. That's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
See who Jesus is, right? And could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus. Well, how did he know his name? See, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Maybe you could just minimize Amber when we're not reading something. Just minimize, because I like that eagle. You like that eagle?
Amen.
See, I think that's a golden eagle.
Yes, it is.
A golden eagle, you know? That's, we identify with that more than a bald eagle, right? The golden eagle. So, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Anyway, happy to be here today.
Amen.
And I got a few announcements just to make. One is Brother Dave Borton informed me that he was at an event, I think yesterday, and there was leftover food that's in the fellowship hall. So you're welcome to partake after the service today. So thank you, Dave, for that. And then also, I wanted to make an announcement that next week we're working on updating the contact list here. Again, just so we can be able to contact you and have the latest information. So next week, look for that. We'll have what information we have for you, and then we just need you to check it if it's okay or modify it if it's not. And Amber and I are working on that. And then also next week, we're still working on the May trip, and we're getting close to having a lot of details. We're not have all the final details yet. The dates, we're really focused on them. But what I need to do is start trying to understand who wants to come. And this is not really like a final commitment. But next week, I'm going to start asking for people to say, you know, put your name down, I want to go. And don't it's not the final commitment, but it's the first. Say just say I want to go. And if you want to put a family with so many adults, so many children, that might be helpful to know. So we're going to start, just I need to understand better the numbers of people and things like that as we look at rooms and things like that. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm excited about the trip. I just see things working together, and I think it's going to be a good thing. So, and Brother Ed said he wants to come, so that's good. So I feel better now. So,
amen.
I think it's going to be a good thing. And so just pray about that. And remember, we said that I know people get concerned about the costs of things, and the way we're going to handle it, we're going to pay for everything, and then we'll let you know some of the costs, and you can make a donation to the church. So that's the way I feel to do it, and like it or not, that's what we're going to do. So, praise the Lord. You know, God is a good God.
Amen.
And actually, we don't have words to describe God.
Amen.
But today, I'm excited about today's service because I get to talk about Jesus.
Amen.
And he's my favorite subject.
Amen. Praise the living Lord.
He's my God.
Amen.
I trust he's your God.
Amen.
And when I'm alone, you know, I say nice things to him.
Amen.
I say, Lord, thank you so much for what
Amen.
You've done for me. I'm sure you do the same thing.
Amen.
Sometimes I say, Lord, you're just so beautiful.
Amen.
You're so wonderful.
Hallelujah.
I just feel, I stand in awe of God. Most of the time I feel unworthy. I say,
Amen.
Lord, I'm unworthy to even talk to you, but
Amen.
I got nowhere else to go.
Amen.
Ever since you came into my life, I have nowhere else to go. I need you.
Amen.
I need your mercy. And I want you to live in me.
Amen.
I want your spirit. I want your love. I want all that you are. I just reveal more to me. Because that which you revealed to me, I love it.
Amen.
That which you've shown me in your word, I love it.
Amen.
And I want to step back today. I was telling Amber in the car. I said, I just want to step back. Sometimes God does this to me. I don't understand it. But I want to step back and try to look at the bigger picture, you know, today. Because sometimes we can't see the forest through the trees. Sometimes we get caught up in the details of life and we lose focus on the main thing. And yesterday I was at a funeral for my dad's sister, Mary Brady was her name. And you know, I could talk about her for a while and maybe mention more later, but she was a Catholic woman, very dedicated. And God showed me something yesterday. I was in a big, beautiful church, and there was a lot of people there, and all the priests and bishops were there, and all the ceremony. And you know, these people are sincere. They're not doing this to be wrong. They don't know that they're wrong. I saw my cousins and my uncles and people from Ireland, and family's very important to their culture, which should be for any culture, right? But they're very dedicated to that. And, you know, I really sense a sincerity. You know, when you see people, you know, they make the sign of the cross. Okay, we don't do that because we have more information. Okay, we know things they don't know. But when they bless themselves and they have the priests going around with the incense and like it means something, you know. But you know, I mean, but to us, we have eyes to see.
Amen.
See, but they don't. So when they approach that, and they approach things like Mary, and Mary Brady was part of the Legion of Mary, you know. So they're approaching God in their mind. That's what they believe, and they're sincere about it. Sometimes more sincere than people that can see the truth. Sad to say. And so Pat Brady is my cousin. He was Mary Brady's oldest son, and he's a priest, and he's progressing up into the priesthood, and he's a smart, very smart guy, and he gave a good talk about his mom and the hope that they have for eternal life. You know, they're believing for that. And faith, they have faith too. It's just anchored in the wrong place, is really the truth of it. But there was a little kind of funny part just to, you know, break the tension. You know, he's at a funeral for his mother, and he was describing, you know, how the end of someone's life is always, every death is hard, you know, and every birth is a mess. So he said that it got real bad last Sunday, and she just took a step down, and the family was able to come in and be around her bed, and here he is, you know, he's a Catholic priest, and all the family comes in, and there's his mother dying, and he said that, she said, Pat, his name is Pat, Patrick, right? Mention the Legion. So here she's dying on her bed, and what her concern was during her funeral that he mentioned the Legion of Mary. See, that was her dedication. You know, everybody in the church just kind of laughed because they're like, you know, that's what she was thinking about. Now, for you and I, it's not funny because praying to Mary is not recommended, right? It's not right. It's wrong to us. We know it's wrong. But to them, that's the right thing to do. See? So she was so sincere about that, that in her dying wish, she wanted him to promote this allegiance to Mary, you know. So what I got out of the funeral is there's a lot of sincere people that maybe they're sincerely wrong, but they are sincere. You know, they're very sincere about, you know, I want to be sincere about what I believe. Because I believe I've been given more truth than they have. I have been privileged to see more truth than what they can see. So shouldn't I be more sincere than they are? Shouldn't I be more dedicated to that? Amen. You know, again, we live in this casual age, and I don't think being casual about God is a good thing. I think we should be very sincere about God. Because he's worthy of that. So anyway, today I'm very happy to talk about Jesus. And I would expect that you would be happy about that too. And he's not just the second person of a Trinity. Aren't you glad to know that?
Amen.
He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the revelation of God.
Amen.
The manifestation of the life of God. And in the way I like to think about it is Jesus was the life of God on display.
Amen.
What God wanted to display about his life, the fullness of that was in Jesus. We saw glimpses of Christ in the prophets.
Amen.
We saw portions like in Moses, the lawgiver, see? But he was not, Moses was not the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When God displayed Moses' life, and God loved talking, you know, lip to ear to Moses, he was a special man, right? But that wasn't the fullness. That when God had millions and billions and trillions, just think of multiplied trillions. It just blows your head. You can't think about that. But how much time, if it was a time, that God had to think about how he wanted to reveal himself. We just can't even imagine. So, but Jesus was the life of God on display. So when God finally formed his plan, however long it took, maybe it took more time than we can even imagine, I believe he made a perfect plan.
Amen.
I believe that the God that has revealed himself to us is so perfect that when he finally made this plan and then he created the angels and he created the universe and it was all part of an unfolding mystery, that his desire was to display his life, to manifest his life, to manifest what was in him that couldn't be manifested when he was all alone. You know, the wonderful thing about God is he wasn't content to stay alone.
Amen.
That just blows your mind a little bit. The self-existing one was not content to stay alone. So he created this universe because in God there was a desire for fellowship. Praise God.
Amen.
You got to step back from life a little bit and start to understand, why are we here? What was the purpose of God? What was he desiring? And that's what I want you to focus on. What is God's desire? What was God's desire when he manifested himself in Christ? What did we see? So we're going to look at those things today. Isn't that one? Forgive me, you know. I can't contain it, you know, sometimes. I'm like, Lord, too much. You know, you remember Finney, you know, when Finney was getting baptized with the Holy Ghost, and he said it was like a love just billowing on him, waves of love just, and he was like, oh, he couldn't contain it. Oh, Lord, hit us with that. But sometimes we're like, oh, Lord, sometimes when God starts sharing things in my mind, you know, I just get caught up. And all the things of life don't matter anymore. I'm just caught up into thinking about this God, which he's so great, I can't fully comprehend him, but I love what he's shown me about himself.
Hallelujah.
I can't wait for more. I can't wait to get, you know, when I have a problem, I go to him. I don't go to mortal beings which are flawed like me. I go to him and I say, God, I have this problem. Most of the time, I'm the problem. Most of the time, I'm the one that's doing something wrong. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Don't you love we have a place to go?
Hallelujah.
I have confidence in him. I believe there's a God.
Amen.
And his name is Jesus.
Amen.
And he desires, I want you to get this, he desires to help me.
Amen.
To help you. He wants that. And it's wrong for us to believe otherwise.
Amen.
That's the devil that puts those thoughts in your mind. God's going to condemn me. God hates me. Oh, he's mad at me. He's standing there with a stick ready to beat me. No, I believe he's so different than that. I believe he wants to save us.
Amen.
1 John 1 and 2, Amber, do you have that one? And there's a... So we'll get better at this. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life. You know, there's only one form of eternal life.
Amen.
Not two or three. There's only one. That's God's life. Eternal life was with the Father and was manifested to us through Jesus Christ. That life was in God when he was all alone, and then God created the world, he created everything, and then he manifested that life. We're privileged to have seen it. The next scripture, Amber, 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Thank you.
And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So then we become part of it. We become part of the plan of God. Actually, he gets involved in our life in such a way where he works through us in a hidden way. And people almost think they're doing something when God's doing it. Praise the Lord. And then 1 Timothy 3:16, one of my favorite scriptures, worthy to be memorized, right? Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.
Amen.
Jesus was God.
Amen.
The Bible says that. Seen, he was preached on, he was manifested in the flesh. See, that's the amazing thing about this God, and I don't think people grasp it, is that he's so great that he covers all time and eternity and all power and all knowledge so that we can't hardly comprehend. But he's so great that he was able to condense all that he was into a body of flesh and manifest the heart of God. Jesus, that's the title, Amber, Jesus, the heart of God. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. Remember, portions were displayed through Elijah and the prophets and Moses and different ones. Even David, you know, when he was up there and the man's throwing dirt and stones on him, and he said, let him alone, you know. God told him to do that. Christ was being revealed in there. When David would not throw the javelin back at Saul, when he would have mercy, when he, imagine David's hiding in a cave and Saul picks that cave to lay down and rest. And can you imagine David's buddies? They're being chased and to be killed, and then Saul lays down right in front of them. They're just like, he's dead. We got him now. Let's kill him. What does David do? I'm not touching him. See, that was a display of withholding justice and choosing mercy. That was a display. That wasn't a human carnal display. That was a glimpse of Christ. And so We love to see that. But, you know, whether it's Moses, David, Elijah, all of them, we saw human failures in their life too. See, they were not the fullness of God. They weren't the heart of God on display, but Jesus.
Amen.
He is, he was, and is, and always will be. He was how God, the great God, this great being, chose to manifest himself.
Amen.
You can't think about him enough. You can't worship him enough. You can't talk about him enough. He is this topic that's worthy for you to be on your mind. He is the one we seek. But the truth is, he's seeking to save that which was lost. That's what he does. Praise God. All right. So you can move that, Amber. We have spoken about portions of this many times, so I just think there's no way for us to comprehend God, you know, as big as he was. So, you know, when we think about him and all that he is and how he chose to display himself, and again, like I was saying, I often think about how great he was. And, you know, it was the message of the hour, that eagle prophet, that really helped clue us in to how, you know, I think he had an eagle vision of things that other people didn't have. Now, you may not share that opinion, but I believe he saw things in the Spirit of God that other people didn't see.
Amen.
And when it comes to talking about God, he did it very well. Where's that quote, Amber, on Christ is the mystery of God revealed? And so this is a sermon that we're also going to eventually get to on our midweek services, because it's just such a beautiful, beautiful sermon that we're going to take time with. Right now, we're in Spoken Words, Original Seed. The books are in the back. If you can't make it on the midweek, feel free to take one. We just finished the first hour of 6 hours this past Thursday, and it was wonderful. And we're in great anticipations to take our time with that. So this quote here talks about God. He says, now, God's secret mystery he had before the world began. Now, back in the back part of God's mind, there was something that he was trying and was going to achieve. Now, I love that kind of thought, that God had something in his mind that he was trying to achieve. God had a desire. Because, you know, you can have a desire, I can have a desire, and it may be right or it may not be right. And we may be able to accomplish it or we may not be able to accomplish it. But when God has a desire, that's going to happen. When that's what he wants to happen. So he had a desire and he had a motive in doing it in order to let himself, move it up, Amber, be expressed. God's desire, what was it? To express himself, what he is, what he wants, what he's trying to accomplish. It's a beautiful thing. So Brother Branham says, but because first there wasn't even a moon or a star or an atom, a molecule or anything. He was God, but he wasn't exactly God at that time, because God's an object of worship and there wasn't anything to worship him. Can you think about that? That God, this being existing before there even was angels, before there was a universe, before he just existed, the self-existing one. So in his great mind, he wanted these attributes to be expressed. Where are you, Amber? All right, so you don't have that. So in him was love, in him was to be Father and Son, Savior, Healer. These great attributes that we see already expressed, they were in God. So in God is attributes. But he couldn't express being a father. See, a good, great father like our Father God, that's such a wonderful thing. When you see a manifestation of a good father here on earth, it's a wonderful thing, right? Now, I know there's a lot of bad fathers and there's a lot of bad people, but when you look at what God is, he's a wonderful father. So if you didn't have a good father, you still have an almighty father that is a good father, right? And in, as a son, what's a good son? What does that look like? What about a savior? See, it was in him to be a savior. And he knew that, being great God, but there was nothing to save. It's just incredible. I just stagger a little bit in thinking about it. Savior. It was in him to be a savior. It was in him to be a healer. But there was nothing to heal. There was no corruption yet. There was no disease. There was nothing bad yet. See, so you see, God created this universe and he put the mechanism there for man to fall. He didn't. I don't believe he made him fall, but he put the mechanism there because he wanted to deliver man. Amen. See, focus on what is God's real desire for you in your life. He wants to deliver you. If you're in a situation that's corrupt and perverted and wrong, okay, his desire is to be God for you and to be your Savior and to be your deliverer and deliver you from that and make you whole. If you're in bondage, he sets the captives free.
Amen.
If you're in sickness, he's a healer.
Amen.
If you're lost as lost could be, he's a savior today.
Amen.
That's what he wants to display. That's what he wants to show to us. And not just in theory. He wants to deliver that in reality.
Amen.
What a God.
Amen.
What a mighty God we serve. And the next part, Amber, 140 down below. And notice God had a threefold purpose in his great mystery secret. God, in his great mystery secret that he had before the world began, he had a threefold purpose. And now we want to go upon this morning, what is that threefold purpose? See? What is that threefold purpose? Let's go to 154, Amber. The paragraph 154. So, first, now, to me, I don't have any doubt about that because I have faith in a revelation of who Brother Branham is. And some people really doubt and it struggles for them to receive from God. But to me, it's clear. He's a prophet of God. He was vindicated by God.
Amen.
When I look at this, I don't question it. See, the first of the threefold purposes was God wanted to express himself completely, God in Christ.
Amen.
That was God's desire. That was what God was trying to do. And that's what we're focusing on that today, that first fold mystery. But look at the other one. Second, to have preeminence in his church. That's his desire. That's what he wants. You know what? He's going to get what he wants.
Amen.
He is going to get that. And I'm so happy about that today. Doesn't depend on my works. It depends on whether God can do it or not. And I have confidence he can do it.
Amen.
He's going to do it.
Hallelujah.
He's working on it right now.
Amen.
See, in his church, which is his body, the bride, till he could, preeminence in his body, the bride, until he could have preeminence to express himself through them. All right, and thirdly, to restore, don't you love the word? I love the word restore. To restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell by sin by the first Adam, back to where he walked in the cool of the evening. Don't you want to go back there? I do. In the cool of the evening with his people, talked with them, fellowshipped with them. That's good enough, Amber. But think about that now. God had a desire to fellowship. So he created man. And he fellowshiped with Adam, and he loved it. He loved coming down, the being God, in the cool of the evening, and talking with his son, and being a father to his son. And then that was lost by the failure there in the garden. But he already had a plan how to recover it. You see, when you fall into sin, don't lose hope. He's already got a plan for restoration. That's what makes me so sad when someone would take their life in despair and have no hope. He has a plan.
Amen.
a restoration plan to give hope to the hopeless. See, it's such a delusion for people, an anointing of Satan to say there's no more hope. It's just too black, and they're not looking properly. They're not seeing properly the plan of God. He's a God that loves to take something that looks hopeless and impossible and change it into something glorious. The Spirit of God moved on this earth when it was nothing and void and dark, and He transformed it by His Word and His Spirit, and He made it a beautiful paradise. How much more can He move upon someone who believes in Him? How much more can He move upon our situations and our impossible circumstances? You know, when I run into something really impossible, I'm just saying, all right, God's got to come on the scene now. I've gone to the place where I don't even go towards despair. I go towards, where's the miracle coming from? He's a miracle working God. I choose not to let my mind go to despair, because I have such trust and faith that He's on my side. He's my Father. He's my Father. He's my Redeemer. He's my Savior. He didn't save me to lose me. Yes, I've failed Him many times. I'm unworthy of God. But He's worthy for me to get up again and trust Him again. And repent and believe in Him again. And many times, brother, sister, when we're down and we're feeling bad about ourselves and we fail God, just remember, He gets no glory out of you having a pity party. He gets no glory out of you holding bitterness against someone. He gets no glory out of that. He gets glory when you forgive and ask for forgiveness and you get up and you move again towards God. That's what brings glory to God, because He made a way of escape for us. He paid the price on Calvary. Oh, Lord, help us. I don't know if I can get through it today. Praise the Lord. I just love to talk about Jesus. It's my favorite subject. Amen. He should be. He should be. What's your favorite subject to talk about? It should be your God. It probably is your God. What do you talk about all the time? What do you love to do all the time? What do you love to think about? You'll find a little idol there somewhere. If it's not Him, what is it? You know, I got no problem working on cars and things like that. Did you ever meet somebody that's all they talk about? Okay, they lose me a little bit because I'm not, you know, so much involved in that. But I'll tolerate that. But we got something else to think about. You know, if you want to talk about Donald Trump all the time, that's up to you. I don't want to talk about him. I want to talk about Jesus. Amen. Somebody say, I'm afraid. I'm not afraid of Donald Trump. My God sets up kings and He brings them down. I'm not afraid of anything. God is on my side. Hallelujah. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Woo. Sons and daughters in God, it's time to stand up. Amen. Have confidence in your God. No confidence in yourself, but confidence. Amen. My God is in control. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the living Lord.
Hallelujah. So do we see God's desire, His purpose, before the foundation of the world, to express His attributes, to express what He was? And, you know, today, isn't it wonderful to know that He's actually revealing Himself to us? He's this great God. You know, we can say that with confidence. We can say, you know what? I don't know everything about God, but I know that He's revealing Himself to me. I know that He came to me and He touched me and He changed me and He's still changing me. Praise God. That's so wonderful. You know, we could take eons just to think about that. Why did He choose me? There's no explanation for that. But I know He came to me. He came to me. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful to know? And I just believe that if people, they just don't know God. If they knew him, they'd love him.
Amen.
Because to love him or to know him is to love him.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart. That's why I don't give up on anybody. If somebody's real soured and foul and perverted, okay, they don't know Jesus. But if they knew him, they would love him.
Amen.
Because to know him is to love him.
Amen.
And so it's my desire to serve Jesus. You know, yesterday, even at the Catholic Church, they had something on the wall that struck me, and I liked it. And it said, to serve him is to reign. Think about that. To serve Jesus is to reign. See, that's a revelation. You got Catholic people that get that more than us. Humbling ourselves to God. Serving God is how the way up is down. Submit your will to God, and then he takes over from there. Praise the Lord. Oh my. So when God reveals himself to us, what happens? We just stand back in awe. Wow. We don't have words. Wow. I'm always wowed by God. You know, when we experience the sweetness of his Spirit, there's nothing like it in all the world. You know, for us that were in the world and partook of the world, you know, we've tasted of the world. Tasting Jesus and his Spirit is what satisfies our soul.
Amen.
The things of the world don't satisfy.
Amen.
You know, and people sometimes they can't believe that until they experience it. So we get young people raised up and they go out into the world and they try different things and they try to put on different masks to see who they are. But when they come to their senses, they'll come back to Jesus.
Amen.
Because his Spirit is the only thing that satisfies a hungry heart.
Amen.
Is the Spirit of the living God. And, you know, he said that to the woman at the well. He says, the water that I give, say, if you drink it, you'll never thirst again. Amen. Have you drank from that water?
Amen.
Nothing else can satisfy after that. So we see that the life of Jesus was well thought out. You understand what I'm saying? Well thought out. God had a desire. Think on that desire. And he had a desire to achieve something. And when I start to think about how God had a desire to achieve something, all man-made religion just goes away. All formal religion goes away. The importance of it, just they're missing the big picture. So yesterday I walked into this beautiful building. Now, I'm not going to say it wasn't beautiful. It was a beautiful building. Real high ceilings and just everything perfect. Marble and the everything. And just, you know, from a purely natural point of view, it was a beautiful building. And just the priests were all decked out. You know, that's not our taste for thing, you know, but I'm just saying in a natural, you know, everything was so perfect. You know, when they hold their hands together, they're perfect, you know. I remember being an altar boy. You had to have that just right. It couldn't be like this or like that, you know. You had to have it just right, you know. Bowing down to God, right? Everything is just such a formality. But God is greater than ceremony.
Amen.
God is greater than natural beauty. And when he came to display his life, it wasn't like that at all.
Amen.
There was no beauty that we should desire him.
Amen.
So when God displayed what he was, it was in the beauty of humility. Humility. See, he came not in a temple made with hands. Man is very clever and he can make buildings that are just spectacular and say, wow, look at this building. But God come into temples not made with hands.
Amen.
Temples that God made.
Amen.
Human temples. That's the building that he wants to make beautiful from the inside out.
By His Spirit and by His Word, He comes in and He touches that which is dark and void, and He transforms on the inside, and He gives you eyes to see, and then His Word penetrates, and the Word, the seed of the Word, comes into your heart, and it starts to grow, and it starts to produce, and all we got to do is keep drinking and drinking and pushing out and pushing out. Hallelujah! That's a beautiful temple. Much more beautiful than a temple made with hands. There's so much ceremony today. There's so much so-called perfection and beauty. You know, but I remember I was telling somebody that I was driving down. I think it was Brother Brian and some brothers, we were driving down south. And we went to where Stonewall Jackson was a believer, you know, the general. And we went to the house that remembered Stonewall Jackson. And we went in the house. And we were looking at pictures on the wall. We didn't have much time because it was near closing time. We're looking around. And something struck me on the wall that I couldn't forget. There was a Confederate money there. And the woman who took a few minutes to talk to us, she said that they could tell the difference between the Confederate real money and the counterfeit, because they were doing counterfeit money back then too. See, the counterfeit money was too perfect. The real money wasn't as nice looking. And oh, I just had a little dance in Stonewall Jackson's museum, you know. I thought, oh, that's so true. The devil tries to beautify. He tries to do it in a natural way. But God has a natural beauty that doesn't look the same as a so-called perfection by man. Who in this world would have picked a Kentucky hillbilly to be his prophet to this generation with bad grammar? I'll tell you who picks that. God picked that. Because there was a beauty of humility in that man that far exceeds all the formal education and plaques on the wall. And seminary experience, this man had experience with the pillar of fire.
Amen.
An angel of God talking to him.
Amen.
Oh, that's real.
Amen.
That's what I want.
Amen.
I want a real experience with God.
Amen.
Don't give me some prettified, beautified religion covering. Give me the real thing.
Amen.
Down in a cave or a cabin or wherever he was, in a pillar of fire, and he's afraid. And out of the pillar of fire comes walking an angel of God.
Amen.
I believe it.
Amen.
They can walk away if they want. I'm not going anywhere.
Amen.
I found something real. I found something from God. I wouldn't trade it for nothing.
Amen.
And this message didn't point me to anything but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Him crucified.
Amen.
It's the perversion of the message that points to Brother Branham. Brother Branham pointed to Jesus. Brother Branham worshiped Jesus. He said, when we get to the other side, we're going to be standing next to Brother Branham worshiping Jesus.
Amen.
Don't take the focus off Jesus.
Amen.
Because then you won't understand the message right.
Amen.
That's been manifested in a great way.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh my, I'm happy. Are you happy? I'm happy to know Jesus. I'm happy that He touched me one day. I didn't deserve that. I should have been cast away. I should have went to hell. Even today, with anything I've ever done or everything I tried to do, I should go to hell. But He saved me. He revealed Himself to me as my Savior. I accept that today. I offer nothing in payment except I believe it. And only now in appreciation do I want to lay down my life and give my life to Him, because I just want to be near Him. I just want to be close to Him. I want His Spirit close to me. I don't want to grieve His Spirit. I want His Spirit to be happy, be pleased to dwell, because He's so beautiful. Jesus is beautiful. He's wonderful. How many words could we say? We could exhaust all the words. God is so good. All right, that doesn't do it. God is greater than good. God is abundant to us. He's exceedingly abundant.
Amen.
We don't have words. We don't have language.
Amen.
But, you know, maybe God will give us another language and we can express it better. So be it, Lord. So God's beauty goes way beyond a natural beauty. Man-made religions always misses the mark. And you know what's disappointing is man gets, he gets so caught up in his program, he leaves off God's program. And that's what I worry about people around the message of the hour. Don't trade in the original program, God's program, for a new one. We don't need a new gospel. It was a restoration ministry. Restore back to the original. So I think it's very important that we see the life of Jesus in a greater view, and we see that in the life of Jesus that was on display, God's life, he was a Savior. That's the heart of God, is to save. Amen. To save us. He was a healer. He was a deliverer. That's the main thrust of God.
Amen.
And what are we attacking today? I'm attacking those thoughts in your mind that say God's against you. God's mad at you. No!
Amen.
He's your Savior. He's your deliverer. He wants you to overcome. He wants to deliver you from all the chains that keep you from being free to worship him. Praise God.
Amen.
Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Even the name of Jesus, what's it mean? Savior.
Amen.
Joshua, Jesus, Savior. You know, Moses couldn't take him into the promised land because the law never takes you over. It had to be somebody named Joshua. Jesus, Savior. See, law couldn't take them over. It had to be grace that takes us over. If you want to live in the land of the Holy Ghost, focus on the grace of God, not the law of God. The grace of God will fulfill the law of God in your life if you fall in love with Jesus. If you love him with all, what did he say? All the law and the prophets are summed up. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, all the prophets is in that.
Amen.
So people want to get all complicated in all different laws. I'll take those that there, focus on that. And if I can do that, I fulfill all that.
Amen.
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 My dad always said, John, you're always trying to take the easy way out, aren't you?
Amen.
I'm like, yes, I am. God's provided way is the better way. Our way is the wrong way.
Amen.
His way is the right way.
Amen.
People fighting their way to hell by having their own way because they don't want to accept God's provided way.
Hallelujah.
Lord, help us.
Hallelujah.
So when I think about it, I just want to shout. You know, there's only one God, and the very heart of God is a Savior.
Amen.
All right, here's a homework assignment. I want you to think about that all day. The heart of God is a Savior. All day today, I want you to go home and think about it. The heart of God is a Savior.
Thank you, Lord.
When God displayed himself on earth, and he took billions and trillions of years to think about how to do it, when he finally came to a conclusion, his great plan was, I'm going to display a Savior.
Amen.
A man that would seek and to save that which was lost. You know, that gives me hope. And then I can say, you know what, as much as I don't like myself,
hallelujah,
there's a God that wants to save a sinner like me.
Amen.
That's why he came.
Amen.
That's why he came.
Thank you.
It's a homework assignment now. I'm going to check and see. I'm going to check your papers. And then the rest of the week, I want you to do the same thing.
Amen.
And then the rest of the month, I want you to, and then the rest of the year, and for the rest of your life, I want you to think of God as your Savior.
Amen.
And if any of the thoughts come in, I want you to say, no, I'm still thinking on this one. You're going to have to wait.
Amen.
God is my Savior.
Amen.
Let it fill your mind.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know, the religious people got mad at God. Isn't that crazy? They're religious because they're like standing for God, right? But they got mad at God in flesh, the fullness of God in flesh, Because he sat down with Zacchaeus, a sinner. How dare he sit down with a sinner? You know, people are still like that today. How dare you sit down with Zacchaeus? And Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Praise God. The whole reason Jesus came was to save sinners. You know, if you're struggling today and you're bound by sin today, I don't want you to fear. Jesus came to save you. He came to deliver you. He's here today to deliver you. He's here today. All right. Let's go to Matthew 9, Amber. I want to look at this. And Jesus passed forth from thence. As Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. That's what he's saying to you today, brother and sister. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Well, that's what he does. That's what he does. And when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come. This is God in flesh. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. See, if you're righteous in your own self, he can't help you. You've achieved righteousness your own way. But if you're a sinner, and you can see that you're a sinner, he came for you.
Amen.
It's an odd thing about Christianity. The longer we're in this mystery of Christianity, the more we see our own wretchedness. See, the longer we're in this, we don't feel better about ourselves. We feel worse about ourselves, but we feel much better about Him.
Amen.
And more dependent on Him.
Amen.
Praise God. Pharisees, why eateth your master publicans and sinners? You know, those spirits still alive today. No mercy, just law and judgment. I choose mercy. I choose to focus on the heart of God, Jesus Christ. You know, even Elijah. Brother Bram said he displayed like the judgment of God. Some people want to be like Elijah today. No, I want to be like Jesus today.
Amen.
Watch where your focus is. You know, frankly, Brother Bram said things that were very rude. Does that mean that's okay for you and I to do that? Elijah had a purpose. Part of the purpose of God. That was his purpose. That doesn't mean it's yours. I believe you have a higher calling. You have a calling that Jesus would be displayed in you. The heart of God. The love of God. The mercy of God is greater than the justice of God. See, Elijah had a purpose in this day. He had to send a prophet to the word, I use the word hew, to hew out, to cut out a bride. If he didn't have such a cutting message, then it wouldn't have cut out the bride the way it did. See? But he had a purpose. But, you know, I don't want to be like Brother Branham. I want to be like Jesus.
Amen.
Now, there's many places where Brother Branham manifested Jesus Christ in a beautiful way. And I accept that and believe that. But he's not my example. Jesus is my example.
Amen.
The only perfect man that ever lived is Jesus.
Amen.
You know, Jesus never had to say, thus saith the Lord. He said, I say unto you. Brother Bam said, thus saith the Lord, right? Amen.
Amen.
Lord, help us to see the difference.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
All right, praise God. Hosea, you know, when Jesus was talking, he's talking about Hosea 6:6. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. How come people don't read that part of the Bible? We got so many people that are bound up in works that they can produce. Sacrifices they can make. Righteousness they can produce. What about that? He desires mercy. Mercy and not sacrifice. Psalm 51, Amber. Psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him. Verse 16, 17, Amber.
Hallelujah.
You can read the rest later. 16 and 17. We know David, a man after God's own heart, he had a revelation. For thou desirest. Again, what are we talking about? God's desire. What's God's desire for you? Is he trying to condemn you? No, he's trying to save your soul.
Amen.
He's trying to deliver you. He's trying to heal you. He's already paid for it.
Yes.
For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are what? Broken spirit. See, where's the temple that he's working on? It's you. It's inside of you. That's the greatest battle ever fought in your mind, because inside of you, God is working on you. Don't get distracted by all the external. God is building a kingdom and a throne inside of you.
Amen.
He's building a temple in you, not made with hands, but made by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. Sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Many times when people come for prayer and they're broken, I always repeat that scripture because I want them to believe that God is for them, not against them. The enemy, when you're broken, he'll crush you when you're down. He wants you to despair. He wants you to give up. But God's spirit's not that way. He wants you to know that he doesn't despise you. He loves you. He died for you. He wants the best for you, and he's trying to pick you up and point you on the right path. Calvary paid the price so we can get up again. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. See, if you'll confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. That's the word of God. Stand behind that word. There's safety in the word of God.
Yes.
Don't reason about yourself and works and in your mind. I got to do this. I got to do that. Oh, I failed here. I failed. Yes, we're all failures. But he's not a failure. He made a perfect way of escape for us. Hallelujah. Let's go to Micah. I love this scripture. It's hanging in my office. Micah 6, Amber, verse 6. Wherefore shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and with tens thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? You know, some religions do that. They offer a child as a sacrifice to their God. That's devils. Devils. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God.
Hallelujah.
Do you love mercy? That's God's desire, that you actually love mercy.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Some people seem to love justice.
Hallelujah.
Not me.
Amen.
I want mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. That's what I want. I love mercy. That's what I want. So that's what I want to choose to give. I choose to forgive you before you ever offended me. Actually, it's very unlikely that you're going to be able to offend me because I already forgave you before you did it. That's a way to live. I'd rather live like that than be so easily offended that people have to walk on eggshells around you. Be careful what you say. They're easily offended. Lord, help us. Oh, blessed is he that's not offended in me. Amen. I'm not offended by Jesus. I'm not offended in Jesus. You can't offend me. Amen. All right, somebody's going to try, I know. Because I choose to love you unconditionally. And the greatest force in the universe is the love of God. Amen. I'm not going to give power to other people to make me miserable. That's what you do when you're easily offended by people. You know, people can offend people when they didn't even mean to. You offended me. Sorry, didn't mean to offend you. Doesn't matter. You offended me anyway. See, when you do that, you give power to other people over your life and over your spirit. No, the King of Kings lives inside of me, and I give no power to anyone. My requirements of everybody in this world are absolutely zero. Amen. I require nothing from anybody because I get everything from him. Amen. And I don't need anything more than that. Amen. That might just explode somebody's mind, but it's a better way to live. Yes. And maybe we fall at that at times, and I fail many times. But a long time ago, God showed me that he can satisfy my every need. Amen. And that human people will fail one another. Amen. We all fail one another. Yes, see? Sir. Praise God. It's not that we want to. It's just that we're flawed people. Amen. But I'm staring at somebody who's not flawed. I'm staring at the perfect one. My mind is stayed on him. And he's a savior, and he's wonderful, and he's beautiful. And I choose to think about him, and as I think about him, I start worshiping him. Amen. Because I see he's worthy of worship. Amen. And sometimes, I know it sounds crazy, sometimes when I'm alone and I'm worshiping Jesus, I get caught up and there's other beings worshiping him. Amen. I believe angels worship him all the time. Amen. And I get caught up into that. And I don't want to leave it. I don't want to come back to earth. I want to stay in that atmosphere. Amen. What's it going to be like on the other side? Tell you what, there's going to be no bitterness over there. There's going to be no unforgivingness over there. Just the love of God. The love of God, so rich and pure. Brother Bram said over there when he went across the curtain of time, you know, he said, his wife said, oh, Bill, you've preached it, but you just don't know. You've talked about this Holy Ghost religion, but you just, oh, why did you call me back, Bill? Oh, I want to be over there. I want to leave this world of sorrow. I want to leave this world of shadows. I want to be with Jesus. But wait a minute. What if he wants me to do something here? Okay, I'll stay for him. But not for me. It's better for me if I leave. Amen. Death doesn't scare me one bit. Amen. Because I have a Savior. Amen. And he saved me perfectly. Amen. And I have no doubt about it at all. He saved my soul. When he died on that cross, that was the perfect person, the perfect one, the only one, the blood of God in his veins, and when he died, that was the perfect sacrifice. And that's my confidence in that. Not in me. Praise God. Oh, I'm taking too long, I know. Taking too long. God forgive me. So, see, only the sick need a physician. So if you're righteous in yourself, Jesus can't help you. If you're trying to make your own righteousness, he can't help you. But if you realize you're a sinner and you need a Savior, I'm here today to tell you some good news. There's a Savior here today that wants to save you. And not only does he want to save you, he wants to heal you. He wants to break every chain the devil put on you.
Hallelujah.
What hinders that work is our unbelief. We doubt it. But if you had faith without doubt, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. Praise God. People won't let God save them. They want to go their own way. God help us. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Praise God. Let's let him save us. You know, don't try and change his plan. It's a perfect plan. He thought about it for a long time. No changes required. No improvements required. Just only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Praise God. I'm going to skip ahead, Amber. Praise the Lord Jesus. We need to see something today. And what we need to see is that God's desire is to save.
Hallelujah.
That's the desire of God. That was God on display. To save. Do we doubt that?
Amen.
There's many other attributes of God, but when he chose to reveal himself in fullness, what was he? A savior, a deliverer, Holy Ghost baptizer.
Amen.
That's what he is, brother, sister. He wants to help us. Oh my, I'm not going to go into some of the things I had here, but let's go to 1 Timothy 2. Amber, do you got that one? 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for, what's the next word?
All men.
All men. All men. Who does that exclude? Is that just Christians? Mm-mm. All right. Praise the Lord. Now we're getting some heavy doctrine here. For kings and for all that are in authority. Is Donald in there?
Amen.
You betcha. Obama's in there. Kings. All that are in authority. Now watch.
Amen.
That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty.
Amen.
Verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will... What does that say there? Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
What's God's desire? Now, I'm going to share a secret with you. I might have to cut this out of the recording then. I don't know. This is an area where Brian and I actually have a difference. Brian Freeborn and I. And we don't have many differences when we look at the scriptures. So he looks at this at a much higher level, that if God willed something, it's going to happen. I agree with that. But I think this scripture shows that God has a desire that all would be saved. But he doesn't force men. Now, is that all right for us to have a difference like that? And we still love each other?
Amen. That's important, bro.
Because, you know, we start getting into the realms of election and the foreknowledge of God, and there's just things that we don't fully understand. There's just things we can't comprehend.
Amen.
And I believe there's different levels of understanding, and Brian, maybe he's probably, I got a greater understanding than me. I'll give you that. But in my simple mind, when I look at this scripture, God desires all men to be saved. Praise God. See, I like to keep the door open. I don't like to be exclusive. I don't like to say me and my four and no more. Me and my church and no other church. Me and message people and no others. No, he desires. He desires all men to be saved. Amen. I desire that.
Amen.
I'm not happy with lost people around me. But you know, when you kind of say, well, they're not going to be saved anyway. I don't need to care about them. What does that do? That's not right. And I'm not saying that's what Brian does. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying theologically there's an area that I can see we don't see eye to eye completely. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing. Woo!
Amen.
That any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise God. You know, in the Old Testament, it says he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Is that right? Bible readers, back me up.
Amen.
He's a God of love. You know, I don't, it's hard for me really to get into this realm, because when I look at my life, all I see is grace.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I can look back and I remember the moment he touched me. Not everybody has that, and I realize some people have more kind of slower experience, you know, but for me, there was a moment that he touched me.
Amen.
I had no desire for God. I had no desire to change. I wasn't seeking God. I was living in sin. I was drinking, drugs, alcohol, you name it. And one day, he touched me.
Amen.
That's all I can see.
Amen.
So I'll go with somebody who says, listen, John, you didn't choose anything. He chose you.
Amen.
But there's part of the gospel and the message of the hour that says there's a choice somewhere. I just don't see where I made it. It looks like he made it for me.
Amen.
And Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
So it's all grace to me. All I see is grace. I just want to be filled with grace and truth and the Spirit of the living God. And I want to offer that grace to other people. I can't control whether they're going to receive it or not. And it's not for me to know whether they're going to receive it or not. But I want all men to be saved.
Amen.
And because I don't know who will and who won't, I'm going to give it to everybody.
Amen.
And if you come across my path in this life, to me, you're potentially a child of God. Because I will that all men be saved.
Amen.
And what's in me, if you get close enough, is going to come out of me. And I'm going to offer to you the greatest gift this world could ever get. The gift of eternal life. Praise the Lord. Are you happy? Happy, happy, happy. Praise God. I'm going to skip something, Amber. And Brother Bram talked about time when he talked about keep away all bitterness from you. He talked about a time, remember when the tax man called? And he said to his wife, tell him I'm not here. The prophet of God? He even says, his wife goes, Bill, tell him I went out. And he grabs his coat and runs out the door. I would say, flaw. If you're counting. But he wasn't Jesus. But you know what? He really displayed Jesus quite a bit. And he'll be there. He'll be there. So he talked about he had to go through. He went to pray for somebody and he couldn't pray because that happened, right? He had to go back and repent to God. Apologize to his wife. And he went to the tax man and told him. He said, I told my wife. He says, I thought you weren't here. He says, yeah, I told my wife that just to tell you. He was under pressure, right? But he says something that gave me a little more insight. He says, see, always keep all roots of bitterness out of you. See, no matter what anyone does to you, just have God in there that I'll keep all evil away from you. He said that relating to that incident. So, did Brother Branham have a little bitterness towards the tax man? Did he? Could he have? He was frustrated, that tax man. Brother Green told me that one of the main reasons he moved to Arizona was there was an easier tax man out there. Now, do you think that's possible? No, it was all spiritual. It was all, listen, God uses the natural circumstances too. Amen. To push us this way and push us that way and things. So he was, Elijah was a man of like passions as we are.
Amen.
Praise God. So if a prophet of God is subject to that kind of bitterness getting in, and he had to overcome that, and maybe God let him overcome that so he could share it with us, keep all bitterness out. That's a caution. If there's a scratch of aught, Brother Green also shared that Brother Branham took a little piece of paper and a pencil, and he got a little pencil and he went, scratch, just a little scratch on a paper. He said, Brother Green, if there's a scratch of aught, that bitterness in your heart, you're in danger of missing the rapture. What does that tell us? Forgive. Be afraid if you can't forgive somebody. Fear God. Fear missing the rapture. If there's a scratch of aught in your heart, choose forgiveness. Choose mercy. That's how you get filled with God. Otherwise, you're grieving the Holy Spirit away from yourself. You're not displaying Jesus then. We're not displaying Jesus when we're all bitter and angry. Oh, they did this to me. They did this to me. They did this to me. That's not displaying Jesus. That's displaying bitterness. Let it go. Let yourself go as you let them go. Let the Holy Spirit today set you free from all bitterness, from all those ill feelings towards anybody. It's not worth it to hold on to that. What do you gain by that? What do you gain by focusing on the failures of others? It's a trick of the devil. Don't look at other people. Look at Jesus. I'm trying to close. I'll share with you a secret. When I first started preaching back there at the Ambler, I was first in the house for a short time, and then we were at the Ambler YMCA in the upper room. How many was in the upper room when it was a long, narrow place, you know? We loved calling it the upper room, right? And a voice used to speak to me when I was praying. Very still, small voice. And I didn't understand it. And because you're dealing with all the natural things, and it would say, don't look at the people. I said, what do you mean? Don't look at the people. Lord, is that you, Lord? Don't look at the people. I never understood it for years. I never understood it, but today I believe it's God.
Amen.
If you look at people, you'll get discouraged.
Yes.
But if you look to Him,
yes.
Take your eyes off the people.
Yes.
See, and you know, as preachers, as ministers, we want people to get closer to God, you know, and if you look at people's behavior sometimes, and I'm guilty looking at people.
Amen.
It doesn't do me no good. Because it's just discouraging sometimes. People seem like there's such a lack of, do they hear, Lord? Are we doing any good? Is there anything good coming out of it at all? Is there, Lord, it seems like they don't get it. I'm human, okay?
Amen.
But one day, never forget, I'll share with you this. Because remember, it's God's view that matters, not my view, not anybody else's view. And I was there in the YMCA, and you know, I was always troubled by people showing up late and just, you know, used to just in my humanity, and I was like, what's the matter with these people? And so one day everybody was late for church, and Tim knows how I feel, right, Tim? Where is everybody? So I got so frustrated in the little upper room at the Y. I was like, Lord, now I'm wrong. How can't go down there and preach now. I'm wrong now. So what do you do when you're wrong? I go to my knees. And I said, Lord, I can't even go down there now. So focused on them. I told you not to look at the people. Yes, you did. Lord, what would you do? Never forget it. I'll never forget it. And maybe I'm crazy, okay? And I give you that. But a voice spoke to me. And it changed the way I was thinking. It changed the atmosphere. I said, Lord, what would you do? I'd set them free. I'd set them free. I started crying. I thought, Lord, I don't see things the way you see it. You're so beautiful, Lord. You're not looking out to condemn everybody. You want to save them. He wants to save you today. Do you believe that? I want to give you an opportunity to apply your faith today. If what we're saying is the word of God, he'll back up his word. When we were out in Ohio, Indiana, I had what we call Mark 16 prayer line. Okay, and what that means is we're not going to labor here over long prayers. Mark 16 doesn't even say you have to pray. It said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. You know, man's changed that, and we believe we got to earn it. We got to pray it, and we got to do all these things. No, you got to believe. All things are possible if you only believe. Amen. Right?
Amen.
So what we're going to do, we're going to form a line, and everybody, there is nobody here that doesn't have a need today. I don't care who you are. You have a loved one or you have a personal need. And I don't care what it is you have a need of. If you need to be saved, he's a savior today. If you need to be healed, he's a healer today. He's already paid the price for those things. If you need deliverance from something, chains of the devil on you, you can be free today. He's here to set you free. Do you believe?
Amen.
Can I get you to play music, Jeremy? Amen. And I'll pray for you too, Jeremy, so you won't be left out. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's all right. A broken and a contrite heart thou will not despise. And what I want you to do, feel free to kneel at the altar. That's always appropriate. But for everybody who just wants prayer, what we're going to do is we're going to form a line over this side here. Okay? And we're going to pray for these people that kneel down here. Don't worry about that. But we're going to form a line over here. And actually, you can start now. You can just line up on the wall. Stay where that chair is, Sister Comfort. Just stay right there. And start forming a line back that way. And everybody just get rolling behind there. And here's what I want you to think about in your mind. Our God is a Savior. He's already saved us. He's already healed us. He's already delivered us. No matter what you have need of, he's here today to help you. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to come down, and I'm not going to make a long prayer over you as you come by. You're going to stop in the middle there, and I'm going to lay hands on you, and we're going to thank God for doing it. In the name of Jesus Christ, whatever you have need of, salvation, healing, the Holy Ghost, deliverance, financial need, spiritual need. You believe? Is that only believe, Jeremy? What do you believe? Let's play only believe. Do you believe? Let's sing only believe as people come through the line. And when it comes your turn, what I want you to think about is Jesus, the Savior. Just imagine for a moment that Brother John didn't come up with this message today, but that the God of all eternity put this thought into this building today. And he wants you to know that he's here to save you. He's here to deliver you. Whatever you have need of, he's here to give it to you today. And the scripture says he is a high priest right now that makes intercession based on our profession. Remember John Ryan? Well, I'm still blind. That has nothing to do with it. Praise God for healing you. When you pass this place, it's not me. We're giving you a place to contact Jesus right here. I'll lay my hands on you. I'll join my faith with you. And as you go forward and back to your seat, just praise God for giving you what you have need of. That's what we need to do. We need to take the promise of God boldly and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you for saving my loved ones. Amen. Let's sing that together. Yes, only believe. Only believe that all things are possible. Only